Going to read a few verses from Ephesians 2 to begin. Verse 1, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Aren't you glad, after we read those words in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins," that we can sing with assurance, "Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes." I'm certain this fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ creates many different responses in your hearts this morning. Some accept it enthusiastically. Others question its validity. And still others would say, "It makes no difference to me that Jesus rose from the dead." A Gallup poll statistic says that 84% of non-church goers, believe that Jesus rose from the grave. Paul Lee Tan wrote these words some years ago. A lawyer by the name of Frank Morrison wrote a book entitled, "Who Moved the Stone?" And he set out with the purpose of disproving the resurrection, of proving that Jesus did not rise from the grave. But the book turned out to be entirely different. It's a searching study, he wrote, of the scriptural story of Christ's crucifixion, death, and resurrection. He makes the unquestionable point that the resurrection is a historical fact. A historical fact. And lawyer-like, he disposes one after another of the dozens of theories invented to account for the removal of the body from the tomb. Well, I want you to listen to what a well-known, famed Jewish historian has to say about Jesus Christ. Josephus wrote these words, "Now there was about this time Jesus, a wise man, if it be lawful to call him a man, for he was a doer of wonderful works, a teacher of such men as received the truth with pleasure. He drew over many to him of the Jews and the Gentiles. He was Christ. And when Pilate, at the suggestion of principal men among us, had condemned him to the cross, those that loved him at the first did not forsake him." And I've underlined these words, "For he appeared to them alive again the third day, as the divine prophets had foretold, these and 10,000 other wonderful things concerning him. And the tribe of Christians, so named from him, are not extinct to this day." Josephus seemed to record the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ as something that was quite factual. But then we have the record of the Bible itself. Thousands of manuscripts dating to within a couple of generations of the actual event that we've been celebrating this weekend. The best secular documents can only come within 5 to 8 to 10 generations of the actual events in secular history. Any good historian would agree that the Bible speaks for itself because it is a valid historical document. So I'm asking you this morning to look with me into the scriptures with an open heart and an open mind and think about, ponder, listen, and respond to what the Bible declares concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what your responsibility is to that. It's not unusual to question something like this, and I think it's healthy for us to think through it and to question it. But our conclusions have to be based on solid evidence. In fact, many of Jesus' disciples, when they received that word from Mary that the tomb was empty, shook it off as nonsense, according to Dr. Luke in his account. But just to be sure, the Apostle Peter ran to the tomb to look inside. And when he got there, he peered in. And sure enough, it was empty. Then another question came to his mind. What happened to the body of Jesus? And I'm sure he wondered himself who rolled this great stone away. He's not here for sure. But where in the world is Jesus? Well, then we have the two disciples who were on the road to Emmaus. And they were discussing the events of the past few days. And then they encountered Jesus himself, but they really didn't recognize him at the time. And he asked them what they were talking about. And so they went on to explain to him all the events that had taken place over the weekend and the fact that this great person named Jesus Christ, this one whom they thought was going to be the king of Israel, was crucified and he was killed. And Jesus said these words to them, "You foolish men, you are so slow to catch on. I told you about these things that were supposed to happen." And then when he sat down with them a little bit later and broke the bread with them, we're told in the scriptures that their eyes were opened and they recognized who Jesus really was. And after Jesus disappeared, they said this, "Were not our hearts burning within us as he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" And that's how many of you today feel, I'm sure, when you think about the resurrection. You're excited about the resurrection. You're filled with hope, and your heart is burning within you, and I could see it on the faces of those who were singing that triumphal song, "Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foe." Jesus Christ said of himself, we were reminded already, "I am the resurrection and I am the life." And the Bible gives at least 3 accounts of Jesus Christ giving life back to those who were physically dead. There was the case of Jairus' daughter in Luke chapter 8. So young, so full of life, and now she lay dying. And Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, a very religious man, came to Jesus because he knew, I believe in his heart, that Jesus could do something about this. You know, often people don't pay a whole lot of attention, do they, to the Lord Jesus until a need arises in their lives. And often God brings us to the end of ourselves. And it is then that we are ready to pay more attention, it seems, to the resurrected Christ. Well, by the time Jesus got to the young girl, she was dead. And people were understandably weeping and wailing and lamenting. And you can imagine in your heart the emotions that they must have felt as this young girl, just in the prime of her life, lay dead. Well, Jesus told them not to worry, that she was asleep. She was asleep, all right, but she was sleeping the sleep of death. And here's what Jesus did. He cleared the room of everyone except his three apostles, Peter, James, and John, and the girl's parents were there as well. And then he took the girl by the hand, reached out and took her by the hand, and he said, "Child, arise." And up from the dead, she arose. I'm certain that those who said it couldn't be done, and those who laughed at Jesus when he said that she wasn't dead, stood there with their mouths hanging open when they saw this girl walk out again. And then we have another account from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus going into a city called Nain. And as he approached the city gate, he was met by a funeral procession. And a widow's only son had just died. And again, there was weeping. And we're told in the scriptures that Jesus, when he looked on this, he felt compassion for this widow who had lost her son. And he said to her, "Do not weep." And Jesus reached out and he stopped the funeral procession. And I would imagine that people who had seen that stared in unbelief that this guy would interrupt this procession. What's he trying to do? Does he have no respect? Has he lost his mind? Is he on the edge emotionally? But Jesus said to the young man, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And again, this person who was dead rose up, and we're told that Jesus gave him back to his mother. Can you feel the response in a crowd like that? What's going through their minds? They know that this person is dead. And here comes this person, Jesus, the Nazarene, and he reaches out and he stops the procession and he orders this young man to rise up, and he did. "I am the resurrection and the life," Jesus said. And he proved it, didn't he? Well, there's a third demonstration of the resurrection, a story that we all know very well. And it came in the life of Lazarus, Jesus' good friend. And Jesus was a distance off when he got the word that Lazarus was sick. And he didn't hurry to go back and see about the situation at that time. But he did say this. He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man will be glorified by it." Lazarus died. And by the time that Jesus got there, he had been 4 days in the grave. And it is here in this scene where Jesus really shows his humanity, because we're told that Jesus really entered into this with these people who were weeping and who were mourning the death of a brother and of a good friend. And we're told in the scriptures that Jesus wept. And he could see it, I'm sure, in the face of Mary and Martha, the anguish that they were going to. But he came to Lazarus' tomb, and he said to them, "Remove the stone." And right there, they probably thought, this guy has lost his mind. And Martha said to him, "Lord, by this time, there's going to be a stench, for he's been in there for 4 days now. And Jesus said, did I not tell you if you believe, you will see the glory of God? And they removed the stone. And Jesus prayed. And after his short but effective prayer, he cried out, Lazarus, come forth! And now you can imagine, if you were there, how you would have felt. The stir in the crowd, the murmurs back and forth, and people just standing there looking with their mouths hanging open as Lazarus walked out of that tomb. And Jesus said, unbind him and let him go. Up from the grave, he arose. What does all of this mean to us today? So Jesus died and rose again. What does it matter? Life goes on and the world still turns. Well, it matters because we need to make it personal in our own lives today. It matters because Jesus Christ proved through historical accounts, through the scriptures, that in fact he is the resurrection and the life. You know what? We need a spiritual resurrection today, not just a physical one. According to God's word, as we read, we are dead by reason of our trespasses and our sins. We've been born with sin and we're dead spiritually, because of we have chosen to sin, and we are separated from a holy God because of it. We're dead spiritually, but it is possible for us to have a spiritual resurrection this morning. And this means that all of us need to be brought back to life again spiritually by Jesus Christ. Because by virtue of his own death and resurrection, he defeated sin and death and the grave. And he makes it possible for us today to be born again, to come back to life spiritually. And it's not as complicated as we might think. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again? Here's how. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. You will be born again. You can be raised up spiritually this morning by a simple act of faith in Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord and Savior. Because one day, there are going to be two more resurrections. The first resurrection is for those who have been born again. This is a resurrection, the scripture says, to eternal life. And the Bible says, blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. But the second resurrection is a resurrection of judgment and death. And this is a sobering time for those who are not born again. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a resurrection of hope and life. It is a resurrection that ensures that we can be born again and experience eternal life both now and into the future. This is a great exclamation mark for us. Because he lives, as we sang this morning, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And I know today, as I stand here, that my Redeemer lives. And I've entrusted my soul to him. And my question to you this morning is this: have you entrusted your soul to Jesus Christ? the great Redeemer of our souls. Are you born again? Have you experienced a spiritual resurrection? Father, we want to thank you today for the fact that Jesus Christ has risen from the grave. And we want to thank you today that he is the resurrection and the life. And we want to thank you today that we can live forever because of what he has done. And it all points to Jesus today. On that day when he exploded from the grave and people witnessed him after. And they saw him again. And they testified to the fact that he was alive. And he is alive today. We thank you for that. And Lord, we want to thank you that we have such a great and awesome Redeemer. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.